G'day punters and welcome to Winning Post Preview Podcast for the weekend of Saturday, February 1, autumn not too far away. I'm John Barker, joined as usual by Joel Marshall and Daniel Nuttall. Well, Joel, as I say, autumn now only 1 month away, and obviously there's some big racing through February as well, and some pretty smart horses making their return this Saturday.
Indeed, we've got the Manfred Stakes for the three-year-olds at Caulfield. Six of the seven are kicking off their campaigns. We've got the Expressway up in Sydney, which a couple of late entries have really added to the interest of that race, including Colding, who, yes, wasn't originally down to run, but lack of numbers, and Chris Waller has said we'll chuck him in. Still yet to see whether he actually runs, I guess. There could still be a query on that, but should be a good clash between him and Elise and a few others. And obviously the Manfred, we've got Dallasan, Caulfield Guineas winner Super Seth, also returning. Should be a couple of good programs on Saturday, although some small fields, how it's not a lot of value.
Well, speaking of small fields, Daniel, the Widden and the Canonbury for the two-year-olds in Sydney, just five in the Widden, six in the Canonbury. Those two races and the Chairman's, which is the two-year-old race at Caulfield on Saturday, have produced, I think, five of the past 11 Golden Slipper winners. Any possible candidates for early punters?
Yeah, well, of course, Away Game was that Magic Million two-year-old winner at a big price. Will line up in the Widden. I think both editions, although while they're small fields, you can probably make a case for all runners a winning chance, especially that Widden. It's a wide open race. I've got Away Game as a fourth pick there, despite the fact that it has got the runs on the board this preparation. We'll see what happens after the dust settles on Saturday.
We will indeed. Well, we'll start at Caulfield and take you through the three black type races there. First of those is the aforementioned two-year-old race, race five, Lamaro's Hotel South Melbourne Chairman's Stakes, 1,000 metres for the two-year-olds at set weights and penalties.
I'm with number four, Castle Coma here. Just nothing went right on debut. Awkward away, several bouts of interference and still hit the line well. He's been jumping out nicely. I think he's better than what we saw on debut. One Ideas Man, good win in the Engos banner off a good trial. Five Rock of Kryptonite, I think again we've seen better from him at the trials and jump outs. He pulled up with issues on debut. He was 480 there. And three Ayaf, also in my numbers. Drone Strike would be in my numbers if he runs, but probably goes around Friday night.
Yeah, I'm also with Castle Coma. I was a big watch on him prior to that debut, and as you said, Joel, just nothing really went right. The jump outs have been good, backable price as well, close to that $10 mark. So on top, the three and next Ayaf, that straight win down the track was pretty good. Obviously put away after that, did a little bit wrong there, comes back a better filly you'd think. Two Mildred, two wins down the straight and short at small fields, and it wasn't too far away at Mooney Valley at the next start, and sort of a blanket go there. Has trialled well and won a trial, and in for fourth, I've got Drone Striker here. 4-3-2-10.
Yeah, I got Mildred on top. Now, Joel, you spoke to Graham Begg this week. The interview is in Winning Post. You left Mildred out of your chances, but I guess you were more keen to talk to him about Nonconformist, the three-year-old impressive last start maiden winner who goes around earlier on the card.
Yeah, look, Mildred, there's question marks over her form line. She's a jump and run filly, and she beat seven on debut, then she only beat three in the Maribyrnong trial. She was only less than a length off Ideas Man, though, so we're giving him a chance. So yeah, she's a chance. She just needs to prove herself a little bit against these bit better quality two-year-olds.
I've got AR for second, Ideas Man for third, and Castle Coma fourth, 2-3-1-4. Second of the black type races at Caulfield on Saturday is race seven, the Ned's Manfred Stakes. This is for three-year-olds over 1,200 metres. It's the race you mentioned right off the top of the program, Joel, and some really smart ones going around. Super Seth, of course, the last stride Caulfield Guineas winner, but most of the Winning Post panel are with the South Australian, at least fresh over this 1,200 metres, and that's Dallasan.
Yeah, it is a really interesting race. I am a fan of Express Pass. He's also in the first race at the Valley Friday night, which I believe Nick Ryan is leaning to that race. But if he's here on Saturday, I'll be backing him at his double figures. He ran really well on the Danehill to Dallasan, beaten a length and a half up the straight, and he was running about a bit there. Hampered by a fallen runner in the Guineas Prelude, and then that mishap into the Caulfield Guineas was probably never going to work. I think better kept to sprint trips, which he will be this prep. more than happy to back him if he's here. I'm also a bit of a fan of Spend. The debut win was on Heavy during the winter, so you know, there's a few queries, but he's been jumping out well. Always had a bit of a rap on him. Two Dallasan, obviously a chance, and three Groundswell. I'm including in my numbers. I'm risking Super Seth. I know he's the Guineas winner. He was really ridden out in that jump out the other day in the 59.5. There's probably bigger fish to fry second and third up.
I'm with Groundswell, the three, expensive half brother to Shoals. I just like the fact that he's got the sort of the early speed to park himself up on there. And look, in this race, he probably leads this, maybe free of debt as well, across from that wide draw and lead. And yes, he had to run a poor race, Groundswell. So on top, the four in next, free of debt. Unbeaten first up, and only first up start. Of course, comes back from a bit of an injury layoff, sustained in the Golden Slipper, and then when he trialled for the spring, he injured himself as well. So, little query there, about 10 months in between runs, but I think he's a talented horse, and we'll see where he goes after Saturday. Six in next Spend, and I've got Super Seth in as well. 3, 4, 6, 1.
Dallasan, Super Seth, free of debt, and Spend for me. 2, 1, 4, 6. If you want to know more about free of debt, Daniel has spoken to Chris Beig in your winning post on page 8 this week. Last of the black type races at Caulfield, race 8, the Neds WJ Adams Stakes. 1,000 metre listed race, and there's 14 here, and a good betting affair is likely, John.
Yeah, indeed, tough race. Make a case for a stack of these. I've lent the way of number 10, Sister. If she can take the next step this prep, she was 3 from 3 last preparation, culminated in a Group 3 win during Cup Week. Michael Poy, in good ride for the apprentice. He's ridden her before. 4, Hummer Hummer. I'm a fan of her. She'll get back Storm Home. 14, Splintex. Had to include him. I just respect Mark Newnham wherever he travels his horse. I'm a bit surprised he's opened up favourite, however. Not sure he should be favourite, but he's talented. And 3, Miss Leonidas, class mare. I have trouble catching her, which is why I haven't tipped her on top, but yeah, clearly she's good enough.
Yeah, really good field. It's hard to go past Hummer Hummer, and I think at the price, $7.50 thereabouts, she's going to be my main bet of the day. It's my bet of the day at Caulfield. Terrific fresh form. I really liked her Mornington jump out. She was shown intent there. Sped along and hit the front before Pippi sort of came back and won the jump out. They cleared out on the rest, and it was a pretty good jump out field. We won to watch late, and 1,000 metres is a tick for her. So Hummer Hummer on top. In second is 12, I Am Immortal, which jumped out okay. 10 and 13, Sistar and Sartorial Splendor as well, but you could probably go wider in exotic, so it is a tough race. But 4 on top, 12, 10, 13.
Miss Leonidas for me, underrated sprinter, slightly underrated, I think, from Super Hard, Sistar and Bonds Away, 3, 8, 10 and 1. Now, let's just look at our specials here and see if we... So Joel's value bet was Castle Coma. We've heard about that. We've heard about Daniel's best, which was Hummer Hummer. Mine, if anyone's interested, is Actow in race 6. Race 6, number 2. Looks a race in 2 between the two British bred second uppers here. Obviously, just Benjamin, very eye-catching. So, in fact, probably the Cornella, but the Cornella will probably pay $1.50. And my value bet is race 9, number 5, Bag Raider. So let's have your value bet, Daniel, and your best, Joel, who come up against each other in race 2. We'll start with you, Joel.
Nonconformist, my best bet. Nice race this, a few last start winners, but I've always liked the look of him. He trialled well before the debut. Greenness he showed there at his first start, but ran on well. He's just improved with every run and up in distance, and culminating in a 6-length maiden win. I think he can go on with the job and get into a stakes race in the coming weeks.
And with High Strangers, the value in 550 and 6 force field, so obviously pays first two across the line. Horse is always underrated by the market. He's racing at the 1600 metres or suit. Gets an informed jockey back aboard in Damien Thornton, and can finish over the top of these. Race 2, number 5, High Stranger.
Royal Randwick is the venue for Sydney racing on Saturday. As transferred during the week with the west of Sydney forecast to be stinking hot. As I mentioned, we kick off with the two-year-old Group 3 races that have produced their share of slipper winners, you know, in the last decade. And we start with the Witten Stakes. That is for the fillies. They're both over 1,100 metres, these races, Group 3s, as I mentioned. And Joel, your value bet comes up here, but in a five-horse field, she will need to be winning if she's to be any value.
Indeed. Yeah, it'll be sort of money back each way if she runs second. Sentimental, my on-top selection, pretty keen on her. Used to back her dam a fair bit in New Zealand. She showed a stack of talent and got an injury. This fillies by Snitzel, the debut run was excellent. She attacked the line hard, just missed. Chris Waller gave her a decent rap post-race. Liked her recent trial. She pricked the ears. She was run past by Uncountable, who was asked to win the trial. She wasn't. I think she can put her hand up here. Be very hard to beat. Two for Lizzie. Good debut win. One away game. No knock on her. And five September run. She's got talent too. 13th of 15 on debut. But yeah, late splits were outstanding after she ran off the track on the turn. So yeah, really interesting race. I think this is stronger race than the Canonbury going forward.
Yeah, I'm with Joel as well. Four Sentimental. Thought a very good debut run there at Rose Hill, and yeah, except probably hard done by not to win. September run in next, of course, and as Joel referenced, finished down the field, but the run was much better than that form guide suggests. Sort of did a little bit wrong there, but closed nicely. Away game in next, the last start, Magic Millions winner, and three in Flanders, 4-5-1-3.
Race two is the Iron Jack Canonbury Stakes for the two-year-old colts and geldings over 1,100 metres. And you're in unison again, Joel.
Yeah, I'm with Global Quest. He won the Breeders' Plate on debut, did a good enough job there, really knuckled down in the last furlong. His trials have been good enough to suggest he can remain unbeaten. Three, Return with Honour, a big improver, didn't handle the heavy last start against Selzerbeel. Five, Prague, cost 1.6 mil, so they're off to a good start. Got the maiden win on the board, and the form could be franked Friday night through the third place getter, who goes around in the first at Canterbury. And six, Gorshin, the newcomer. He's got a bit of talent, this bloke. Trainer knows the family, half to 5.5 star, and it wouldn't totally shock.
What's the breeding of Gorshin, John?
Cryptic Miss, well bred, I believe.
Well named?
Well named. Really, sorry,
Gorshin,
yeah, well
played named. The Riddler, Frank Gorshin.
Fiddler. Yeah. Indeed, I hadn't heard of him, but I did a bit of Googling and found out that it was well known.
Yeah, I'm with Global Quest. I like the two trials. They've sort of been not ridden out, but, you know, given a reminder by the jockeys in both, so I would suggest he'd be forward enough for this. Of course, when that breeder's played on debut and put away after that. Like backing horses, the one start then put away for a spell on their return. Two and next, Nitrous, thought the run, despite the covering ground in the Magic Millions, was quite good. Five and next, Prague, very good turn of foot, showed that on debut on the soft seven, and the four in next, Gravina, resuming for the Gulf and Sable. 1-2-5-4.
All right, well, not often that you'd have three stakes races on a program and you two would agree on the winner of all three, but that has happened here. Race 7 is the TAB Expressway Stakes, Group 2, weight for age over 1,200 metres. And, well, as you mentioned, Joel, the late entries, of which there were four, including two of the three Group 1 winners in the field, have added a lot to it, but you would think the Group 1 winner, who was an original nomination and has been aimed at this race all along, might have a little bit of an edge. She won the, I speak of Eliza, she won this race last year when it was a five-horse field and four of them were Group 1 winners. And both Eliza and Trapeze Artist came out of that to win Group 1s later in the campaign. And horses from that five-horse field ran second, third, fourth in the All-Star Mile as well. So can be a fairly good stakes race, and I imagine, especially with Colding and Kiyomichi being inserted into this race, it probably will again, but it does look Elise-esque to lose, Joel.
Yeah, look, I'm with Elise. The one little asterisk is that I think there could be more pace, more pressure up front here than perhaps last year's Expressway, which was a real sprint home, and she just had the best sprint of them, clearly, and she may well do again on Saturday. But if White Moss jumps, then from the inside gate, her and Erythea standout will want to be thereabouts, and just think there's going to be more tempo, especially with Erythea third up. We know Bjorn Baker with some of these horses, you know, he can pull off a bit of an upset in some of these races, and I just think she's the one that, yeah, I'm going to put her in for second and maybe save on her. I'm with Elise on top though, but yeah, just with that asterisk that the race could pan out differently. Five to beat seven, Erythea, I think she's going well. One, Colding, class runner. only beaten once since being gelded, and six White Moss, the other on pace that have been trialling really well in hot trial. So interesting race.
Yeah, Lise on top for me. Just cards have knocked that fresh record with four wins from five starts and seemingly going as good as ever. I think James Cummins said one of his Godolphins, one of those press statements they released for their upcoming runners, going frighteningly well. So like the sound of that, and she's on top. Whether she'll back her at the price, not sure, but she's clearly on top. Elise for me, the one in next Colding, superstar horse, 1200 metres, probably see the best of him over a bit further, but he's a star in the making, no doubt, if he isn't already. The nine in next standout on the speed. We'll find out a little bit more about this colt on Saturday against the older horses, and the eight in next Kubrick also resuming 5198.
All right, Joel, your value bet was in the first race, 1, number 4, Sentimental. Daniel, your best in the second race, 2, number 1, Global Quest. So, Joel, talk us through your best, which is race 5, number 8. Fairly topical tip as well, given what's going on in Washington, D.C. Subpoenaed.
Yeah, she's a nice filly, this girl. She started her career in New Zealand, 1,200 around Canterbury, first start in Australia. She got rolled, but it was an outstanding run, and then she won on the Kenzo. The T Rose was probably a bit tough. Expected more in the manifold, but may just have come to an end to the end of it. She had a bit of filling out to do. Her action needed a bit of work. She's looks to be going super at the trials, and 1400 at Randwick first up in this benchmark 70 grade. I think she'll just be winning and going on to hopefully better things. So she's the bet of the day, clearly, for me.
My value in the last at Randwick, Laburnum, a little disappointing on face value, but that was on a heavy track two starts ago, and Connection said that conditions were blamed for that one. So I'm willing to give her another chance. I'm surprised she's come up with a bigger price. She has around the $15, $16 mark. Did trial well prior to that first up run. The rise in distance won't hurt her, I don't think. And yeah, willing to give her another chance, I think, back on top of the ground. Race 9, number 4, Laburnum.
Alrighty, they're racing on the course proper at Morfettville on Saturday. Not huge fields. But Daniel will still be paying Aussie dollars if he can get a winner, and you're starting us off in race 3 with number 5, Staying Strong.
Yeah, that's right, Staying Strong. Look, I think it's only a race with maybe 3 winning chances, and I thought Staying Strong was the best of those. Come up a big price though, this Rebel Rated Gelding, but $9, so happy to take that each way. He's improved with improved into his second up run, stepping up and trip, and then just as the breeding suggests, 1600 metres I think will suit him. Should have finished a little closer at Strathalbyn last start, got caught in traffic at the top of the straight, but did warm up late, and yeah, as I said, the extra 250 metres in distance will certainly help him. So race 3-5, Staying Strong, the best. I think Icon is next best. It also a bit of value later in the program. Was it race number 5? Race 6-1. Only runner for the course and stable all day if they elect to come here with him. Jason Holder aboard. Drew wide last start in a field of 8, got back and ran on all right. It was a race dominated those up on the speed, so the run was better than the form would suggest. Fitter again, and should get a lovely run in behind the speed from the draw. Icon, so you can back him at each way odds about $6.50. Race 6, number 1.
Anything for Morfettville, John?
My best was Sacred Lass up against Daniel, race 3, number 8. One start for a 10th of 14, but I think it was just a sort of an experience run. She was favourite. Her trial suggested she wanted further. She gets to the mile, second up, and I agree, Staying Strong's got a chance, but it's a pretty ordinary race, and I think if she's going to amount to much, she'll be going close. And my value was Love Magic, race 6, number 2. A while between wins, is struggling to win, but recent runs haven't been too bad. A couple of fourths at Morfettville, a fifth at Murray Bridge. Keeps going out 20-30-1. I just figure it won't be long before he does sneak into the frame and get a bit of reward for your each way ticket.
Eagle Farm is where they're racing in Brisbane on Saturday. Daniel, on a good four track, and solid fields as usual on a Saturday in Brisbane. And you start off in race 2 with number 3, the Tony Gollan trained Showa.
Yeah, mare I've got plenty of time for is Showa. She's been mixing at listed grade at her past few starts for 1 month freshen off here. Back in class to a class 3 at the set weights, she looks leaps and bounds above these, I would have thought, and on her best she should be winning with a jockey that knows her well in Bailey Nerthdorf to take the ride. So race two, number three, Shower. The value comes up in the last. I think it's been backed into about $4.50 now in gear. Race nine, number 10. I think in turn the tables of Baroda, who they clashed last start. Baroda was able to win, but in gear was spotting that horse. So three lengths on the turn and ran on nicely, only just missed by half a length. It's a kilo and a half weight swing here. Unless you go to 53 kilos, and she's a filly going places in gear, no doubt. But $4.50 at the moment, probably a bit other better value around, but still willing to back her. Race nine, number 10.
Alrighty, Ascot is the venue for Perth racing again on Saturday. There is a listed race over 1,200 metres. It's the Scenic Blast Stakes, a very short price favourite here in Valor Road for Willie Pike. But BJ's Best actually comes up against Vela Road. It's number five, race five, number five. Cup Knight is the second favourite. At around about $4 is resuming. BJ's value bet is in the second, which unusually is a full field of two-year-olds in Perth. And it's MTA, number three. Race two, number three, MTA at around about $9.50. Earlier in the day, Joel, what are they doing in New Zealand?
They are racing at New Plymouth. A few black type races on the card there. My Best is in the final event. They're rating 65, and it's number five, Reggie Wood. Three-year-old son of Redwood, showing good talent. Blinkers went on last start, sharpened him up. He came away late for an impressive win. I think he could be New Zealand Derby sneaky, but he'll need to win Saturday. And son of Bielski, the value bet. Race five, number four, we're sticking with him. He did a good job for us a few weeks ago at a good price. He won by 4.5 lengths. But I still think he might be value on Saturday. Smaller stable, Opie Boson to ride, I guess that ruins a bit of value. But if he does come up a backable price, I think we should stick with him. And Panzer is the best at Wingatui down in the South Island. Race four, number three. Good strong maiden win last start up to listed company in the Dunedin Guineas, but certainly gave the impression that he could take the next step. And the value bet is in race nine, number 11, Fine Bouquet. He's had a couple of wide barriers of late, sort of mixing the form a little bit, but I'm just hoping from barrier five, you can settle a bit closer, be handy up on the corner, and certainly give you a sight each way.
Alrighty, well, Sale is the venue in Victoria on Sunday. It's a Sale quality meeting, and it was always Cal Diorio's favourite Gippsland race, but probably not what it once was. Surely it used to be worth more than 60,000, didn't it?
I'm sure it did. It's lost some lustre. The last couple of years, it's lost a bit of class, and this year,
pretty good field.
Well, you've got Rocks the Castle there, is definitely a class horse, and a couple of other handy ones. The rest of the card is a pretty moderate program, so a bit disappointing. But I think me and Daniel are butting heads in the Sale quality on with Just Highfalutin. I thought unbeaten second up, getting the weight pull off Rocks the Castle could lean to her, but I think one of the two will win.
The second maps well for Rocks the Castle. Should be able to lead on its own and control the race as he does so well. I know he's got the 61 kilos, but can burn the candle at both ends, and I think it'll be hard to run down the top weight.
Alrighty, that leaves us only to remind you to pick up your winning post if you haven't already. You've got all the form for Friday night doubleheader, Saturday and Sunday, and plenty of great reading besides. And our best $20 bet for the weekend, which I am going to knock off Daniel's value bet for Caulfield. And I'm going to have 20 win on race two, number five, High Stranger. Joel?
I'm going to have a little all up with an asterisk. Express Pass, I think it's pretty sure, is going to run Friday night. He'll be winning race one, number one, Mooney Valley, I would have thought. And what you get off him, chuck it on Subpoenaed. She was $3, but she's now $2.20 with the scratching of 24 carats, so maybe a bit short to back straight out, but I think she's clearly the bet of the day on Saturday.
I'll play it safe and we'll go Brisbane race two, Eagle Farm race two, Shulwa, 20 on the head.
Okay, have a great weekend, everybody. Back plenty of winners, and we'll talk to you next week on the Preview Podcast.